Welcome to another edition of the Home Improvement Show. Your chance to ask Walter Assey, president of Renovco, all of your pressing renovation questions, all your needs, your big, big questions, 514-790-0800. Hi, Walter. How are you?
I am doing good. I'm hoping for you a fast recovery.
If you missed it on the other show that I have here on the station, I announced that I'm going to be off for a couple of weeks because I'm getting a hip replacement. I'm 43 years old, yes, and I need a hip replacement, and I'm very nervous about it. So lots of the listeners have been texting. Some people, I was telling Walter this, some people have two hip replacements and a knee. You're bionic at that point.
Well, you are. But I mean, I remember the first time you told me, okay, having a hip replacement, like, how long have I been doing this?
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
What happened?
I know. I'm actually 95. I just do a lot of plastic surgery. No, I'm kidding. Listen, jokes aside, I do want to say thank you to all of you for your lovely messages, because I get nervous about these things. It's nerve-wracking, but we've got, the show must go on, Walter, as we say.
It will not be the same without you, but we're hoping to have you as soon.
I'm gonna pay you later for that compliment. I'll pay you later. No, I love our chats. You know what? Funny story. A year into this, I was quite nervous to do the show. I told you at the beginning because I now know a lot about home improvement, but I didn't come in knowing anything about it. And then, you know, Walter and I have become friends in real life. So it turns out we actually really like each other. So this is, I think, one of the reasons the show works out. 514-790-0800, the text to text us or call us. The calls are already coming in. Let's take our first call, shall we? We've got William. William, can you hear us?
Yes, good morning.
Hi, William. Take it away.
All right. I have a cast iron furnace. The name on it is, I'm sure that he knows, Sunny Day 31. It's a crane. It's working fine. It's a duplex in the plateau. And my issue is it's got to be 50, 60 years old. It's working fine. It's water radiators, the old beautiful radiators, and everything is working fine. Now everybody's telling me don't replace it to go with a new system or just leave it alone. And I like to know Walter's comments, which way I should go.
Walter?
They are very well done. They have about 70% efficiency versus 95% with the new furnaces. That's the difference.
Right.
So you'll get a lot more efficiency with the new furnaces. The other good thing is that the new furnaces are extremely small and compact versus this bulky thing that is there. I mean, if you don't care about the storage and it's working fine and you find that your hydro bills are reasonable, then I would leave it alone. It's also going to boil down to how much maintenance you are paying on a yearly basis for repairs.
Well, we do the maintenance. My plumber does and all that, and it's very minimal. Like I said, it's 50 years old at least, and it's working fine. And my heating bills for the duplex is about $5,000. Now, each floor is about 2,000 square feet. So I think it's reasonable, and just wanted your opinion with the numbers I just gave you.
No, it is reasonable. It is within the range. Now, the only thing that I would do a bit of research on is how available are the replacement parts still. So eventually it might be phased down that you can't find replacement parts.
Right.
But as far as the way these things were built, I mean, they were built like tanks. You can't get any better than that.
It is a tank.
Yeah, they are, and they're so heavy to get rid of. It's going to sometimes cost you more money to get rid of it than to actually replace the furnace. So a lot of people, what they do is they just keep it there and install the new furnace somewhere else, because the new furnace is wall-mounted and it's so small.
There's another idea, yes. Never thought of that, if I ever have to.
Yeah. Exactly. So you just keep it in place. You ignore it because it might cost you a fortune to get rid of it.
Right.
But if it's working, don't fix it. I mean, and your bills are much, very much in line of what you're supposed to pay.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing, like I said, I would see how available the replacement parts are, because you don't want to be in February in -40. It breaks down and then the plumber can't find...
Uh, Exactly.
The replacement pieces.
Well, thank you very much.
My pleasure, William.
All right.
All right. Thank you to William. 514-790-0800, the best way to reach us by phone. Your questions for Walter Assey, president of Renovco. You can always text, but you know how I feel about the texts when they're too long, it gets too complicated. So call us. Robert has been waiting patiently on the line. Robert, can you hear us?
Yes. Good morning.
Hi, take it away.
I also texted it in pictures of what I'm talking about. My dad's been trying to build up the concrete at the landing of the base of our outdoor stairs in the front of the house. And he's just trying to build it up so that the water runs away from the stairs, rainwater and ice doesn't build up. And it's, he only wants to put a top layer extra add-on, but it's kind of thin, so it breaks up. It doesn't adhere properly. And he even tried putting a wire mesh in there, adhesive additives in the mix, concrete mix. Nothing seems to stick properly. I don't know if you see the pictures that I sent in, but
we don't see the pictures for some reason. It's mostly just the text line. But I think, did he describe it well enough for you?
I mean, I do get it. And that's that, especially for outside, that's going to be very challenging. One product that you might want to look into, it's called Recap from Quikrete.
Okay, Recap?
Recap, yeah. So it's made, if you want, as a topper. The issue that you're going to have mostly these types of applications, especially on exterior, is that the coat is too thin more often than not, and we have very extreme temperature variances here. So it will crack eventually. Try that. It does work in certain cases. Now, usually for concrete to work properly, you would need about, you know, what you could do is you could chip a good part of the existing concrete and pour about 2 inches and then have that leveled. But if you're just trying to kind of apply it like a plastering coat, that's not going to work for a long time, unfortunately.
So you would need at least 2 inches.
Usually you would need about 2 inches. So the other way is you chisel it out, and then you kind of re-pour it and try Recap. That usually is a good product for these things.
And it has its adhesives already, I guess, additives.
Yeah, it's
and stuff.
It's specifically made as a topper, right?
So okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you for that. We've got a text message. It says, "Hi Walter, I had a new deck installed last year, and the handrail going down." Oh no, it said. We did this last week. No, this was just a message. This is me. I'm sorry. They're saying Joanne will be fine with her surgery. Guys, thank you. Thank you for all of this. But yes, let's keep the text message going for Walter. I'm getting red in the face. You guys are so sweet. 514-790-0800, the best way to reach Walter Assey with your questions, your home improvement questions. Nisha is on the line. Nisha, can you hear us?
I can. Thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
Hi, both of you. We've moved into a house with a very huge exterior door. It's probably about 1.5 to 2 inches thick. And it's kind of an oak color. I don't know what it's made of, but we've been wondering how to maintain it. It's a lovely door. Paneling in it, and I've noticed that bits of it have gotten a little bit chipped with the weather. So really wondering how to maintain it so it stays as beautiful as it looks. If you stand like 5 feet away, when you get closer, you can see that it's been affected by the weather.
Yeah, so it's probably made out of wood. Yeah. So the very quick and simple answer for you, stain and varnish or paint, depending on what the color that you have on the door. So if it's an opaque color, then it's paint. If it's, you can see the wood grain, that's probably stain and varnish. Wood, the way you protect it is by ensuring at all times that you have adequate paint covering on it or a stain and varnish. If you don't do that, then any exposed wood will start rotting. So that's the only way you can really protect, especially if it's a front door and it's exposed to sun and cold and heat and everything else, the wood cannot be uncovered. And what happens more often than not is we see these areas that require paint. So even if you do a touch-up on these areas because you don't want to do the whole door, that will help. What happens is most people, unfortunately, will wait until they see bigger patches and that, you know, the whole condition of the door starts to break apart, and then that's when they address it. In this case, it's going to be a much more complicated job and much more costly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's where I would say it's a yearly maintenance, if possible.
Nisha, thank you so very much for your call. I hope that helped you out. 514-790-0800, your best way to reach Walter Assey. Welcome back to another edition of the Home Improvement Show. You can always reach us by phone or by text, 514-790-0800. I did want to mention again, because we're getting a lot of text messages, this is going to be my last show for a little while with Walter, because I'm going off to get, I'm 43 and I'm getting a hip replacement. So I see your text messages. I really, really appreciate every single one of you. Thank you for your well wishes. You know, Walter can fix anything. He just can't fix my hip. It's not yet. Although I knowing you, you could probably know, I'll give you 2 months and you'll fix it.
I'm looking forward for the picture that she's going to send me with the walker.
The full walker, by the way. Because I thought it was a cane. It's a walker. It's going to be something to see. 514-790-0800. We'll get to the calls in just a little bit. We have a text message here from Nancy who says, we removed the carpet on our small stairway. We need to cover the stairs now with something that is not expensive. Since we're redoing our floors with vinyl flooring planks, what is your opinion on covering the stairs with this product?
So the whatever she's going to run into as an issue would be the 90-degree finish angle. Usually what we like to see in stairs is a white step with a bull nose in order to make, you know, the coming up and down an easier task. Mm-hmm. So when you do it with vinyl, you are actually not getting that rounded finish. That might be an issue.
Like a slippery issue?
Well, not a slippery issue as much as a finish issue and a comfort issue. Okay. When you're going up and down. I mean, nobody likes to be on a 90-degree when going up and down the stairs.
No.
The width of the step is going to be another issue. So I'm not a big fan of it. What I would recommend that she does is she could get a wood step with a bullnose. Or even she can get if she doesn't want to spend the money on a wood step, she can get a jointed pine step. So it's like cheap wood.
Okay.
That you can paint. That will give you actually a better comfort as far as the step is concerned, because you're technically getting a legal step.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have that bullnose. Of course, the best thing if you can get it in wood and then finish it nicely.
Yeah, I think she's looking for a cheaper option.
Or what you could do is you could go with the jointed pine and then go with carpet on top. I would not suggest a vinyl finish or even a porcelain finish. Some people like put it doesn't. It's not a safe way to put on, you know. And again, it's a 90-degree angle. It's not going
to
do a nice.
Nobody finish. Needs to be breaking any hips, so we're going to be
there. You go.
We're going to be very careful. Caroline's on the phone with a question about a front door brass knocker. I think. Can you hear us?
Yes. Hi, Kara. Hi there.
Hi. Take it away.
Good luck with.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. Thank you. I really appreciate
that. The recovery will be very, 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 very fast.
I hope so. From your lips to God's ears. That's what I say. Thank you so much for that.
Okay, they have my phone number. You should call me, and I'll give you some recommendations post surgery.
Oh, you're so sweet. I'm actually going to take it down. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. So my brass knocker and where I put my key in, it has tarnished. I've tried brass, though. What else could I try?
When you say tarnished, it's because just what happened exactly? Did any product go there?
Or? No, I think maybe it all oxidized.
Okay, and you did try Brasco and it didn't work?
No.
Hmm. How old is that brass knocker?
Probably, I think the house was built in 1969.
Okay. So my worry is if while applying products throughout the years, you know, a lot of that stain and a lot of that varnish have touched the brass, it might be difficult for you to bring them to the original condition, unfortunately. I don't know of any other product that work, so I can't really help you with that. But, you know,
should I try CLR? Sorry for interrupting.
I mean, CLR is good for grime, and you know, maybe you could try before you apply the brass. What you maybe should try to do is try TSP just to get that film off the brass. So
what should I try?
Try sodium phosphate. So
okay.
What you do is what that does is it really cleans the surface. So whatever product, so let's say if you have it like any grease or grime that is on the surface, then your brass solution is not probably doing its job well because of that. So what that does is it will decrease the surface and clean it. You wait it, okay. Make for it to dry, and then try the Brasco again.
Okay, let me ask you another question. If I remove them, where would I go to maybe somebody could fix them?
Well, to fix them, you're probably going to end up paying a lot more than replacing them. Mm. I mean, you can... Pretty much, there are a lot of suppliers that will, you know, supply you with very similar accessories at probably the same price.
Who would you suggest I go to purchase new ones?
So specialized, you could go with people, with companies like Richelieu.
Mm-hmm.
You could go with...
Upscale,
you could go with M-Tech. M-Tech would probably have some.
M-E-M-T-E-K. M-E-M-T-E-K, okay.
For the suppliers that are also higher end, you can try Union on the Carry.
Correct.
They will have different catalogs from different suppliers as well.
Okay.
That would be a good starting point. I mean, and then if you want to just go to a local place, you can even go to the Serrurier places. You know, there's so stores that specialize just on locks.
Yeah. And that's a good idea.
Yeah, they usually have a little selection, and depending what part
there's
of town
actually,
you're in. Yeah.
Actually a very good one on Laurier.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you do these types of... Union might have a bigger variety, but try also these. Sometimes you'd never know.
Okay.
All right. I hope that helps you out.
Good luck. Speak to you soon.
All right. Thank you so much. You're so sweet. 514-790-0800. Your chance to call in or text us to get your questions to Walter Assey, president of Renofco. Anything you got going on with your home improvement, you started a project, you don't know how to finish it, you're having some issues. Walter is here. This is the Home Improvement Show. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show, 514-790-0800, your best bet, your best chance of getting on the line with Walter Assey, who is the president of Renofco. If you've got any questions concerning any home improvement projects you've got going on, maybe you think you made a mistake here or there, the best way to reach us, of course, is on the phone. You can also text us. And Peter actually has been waiting on the line very patiently. Peter, can you hear us?
Yes. Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes. Take it away, Peter.
I'm calling because last year when we had a flood, the big flood, I cut 24 inches from the basement, the drywall, because it leaked, flooded my basement. And there was no insulation on the first 23 inches. And then the company that built the house, they put like horizontal blocks all along the basement at the 24 inch level. And above that, there were all insulation. So in the basement, they went all the way down in the insulation, and I guess they put the horizontal blocks all around to stop the insulation from falling down to the bottom. And then the first 24 inches, they didn't put. And I was wondering when I put up my walls if I should put insulation back or not. And some people say you don't need to because it's that low, it doesn't, there's no frost. And Other people were saying if you ever have another flood, you won't know because the insulation might absorb it and you get mold, so don't put insulation. But I just wanted to know what, I know the norm, I think, is to put it right to the bottom, but I'm not sure. So that's my question. What?
So it is a great question, Peter, because there was a period of time where some genius came up with the idea that you only need to insulate down to the frost line and stop it there. Except that with time, it was determined that this was not a good idea because this was creating some type of condensation in the exterior walls. So the quick answer to you would be go all the way down. Now,
okay.
There, some people are right in the sense of in a case where you have a water damage, the insulation can absorb it and by capillaration increase the level of humidity in the cavity of the wall. So let's say you get, I don't know, 4 or 5 inches of water in your basement. The tendency for us is, okay, let's just cut those 4 or 5 inches. But if your insulation would have absorbed that, you know, 24 hours later, the actual humidity level in the drywall where mold could grow, it will go up to 2 feet, sometimes 4 feet. So that's where it becomes disadvantageous, okay? Having said that, there are solutions to this issue that are a lot more practical on many levels. Like, I would not personally, I'm not a big fan of fiberglass insulation in general because of that. Because fiberglass in general as an insulator, it's good, except if it gets moist, humid, or wet, it loses its R value and it does act like a sponge. It never ever dries. It's like if you take a sponge and soak it in water, you know, it's never going to dry. Same thing with this type of insulation. So, you know, you could pivot towards a urethane insulation. It's waterproof, it's closed cell, it gives you a way better insulation factor, and it's also an insulation for dummies, meaning if you, with insulation, with fiberglass, if, you know, someone is being a bit lazy and they leave gaps in between the pads, well, I mean, that's going to be a thermal bridge right there, and you're going to have all kind of condensation there because you have these pockets that are not well insulated. Whereas with urethane, you can't really miss it. I mean, it's, you know, you're going up and down, and you're getting this much better insulation value, you know, and you get access to your rim joists while you're doing it even better because that's the weakest point right there. And it's waterproof. So you don't even ever have to worry about replacing it in case of a water damage.
Okay. And thank you. And I have maybe like one more question about insulation. They built the house pretty bad. And aside from that, I noticed like from the 24 inch up to maybe 40 inch or so, they put insulation, but when I run wires from upstairs, downstairs, and I had to make holes, there wasn't insulation. So it's like they kind of put insulation in some areas and not other areas, and all on the exterior walls. So, you know, and then when I ended up finding out that when I ended up buying at the store, the insulation, they gave me an R-rated, I don't know what it was, a 12, or I don't know what's the lowest one. And then when I started putting up the walls and putting exactly like you said, the insulation to the basement and putting up the walls, someone said, well, you have the wrong insulation. That does nothing. And my worry is now, should I tear out the walls and take it out because it's the lowest one? My thinking is if there was none on the first 23 inches at all before, and I put the R12 or whatever it is, it's not the one rated for basement. Is that can even cause more of a problem than if I didn't have any? Or should I cut open the walls again and change it to put the right one? Or is it, and like, I, so there's that question. The second question was, they didn't put insulation in like evenly across all the basement and in some areas, no vapor barrier. So I'm wondering, should I just tear all the walls open completely and just do everything properly? Or should I just leave it as is?
So, I mean, let's dissect this into the two different questions you asked. The first question about the size of the insulation. So whoever told you it's not the right size is probably wrong. I'm going to give you a more accurate formula that you should work with. The size or the thickness of the insulation is determined by the size of the framing. Okay? The thing with fiberglass insulation is you're not supposed to compress it. So let's say you got an R12 and someone told you, well, that's not thick enough, right? Because it doesn't give you the proper R rating. Go get yourself an R40. Well, you can't compress an R40 in a 2x4 frame, right? So in order for you to go to the R22, you're probably going to need to have the 2x6 framing, which in a basement you probably don't have. So an R12, just to answer you, in a 2x4 framing, it's probably the most you can go with anyways, unless you go with styrofoam boards that are glued right on the concrete, you tongue and groove that, and then you put your 2x4s, and then you put your fiberglass. Or, even better, if you urethane, that will give you a much 3 inches of urethane, then in this case, you don't even need to vapor barrier anymore, because that can become two-for-one type of a scenario. The areas, to go back to your second question, areas where you have an R12 that is not enough versus, let's say, R0, R12 all day long is good because most homes, you know, in the 70s and the 80s, it's not enough, but it's better than nothing.
Okay.
And most homes were actually insulated with those R12s. Not okay. The greatest, but it's better than nothing, right? So you still lose efficiency, but it's not as bad as zero insulation. My worry is the areas where you don't have a vapor barrier. That bothers me. Because that, again, can create condensation, which can create you mold. So if I were you, instead of, you know, necessarily ripping all of the basement walls out, I would, you know, maybe zero in on the areas that have no vapor barrier and rip maybe these parts out and put a proper vapor barrier.
Okay. Thank you. You guys are amazing. Thank you very much.
Oh, Peter, thank you so very, very much for calling. 514-790-0800. That is your best way to get your questions in for Walter Assey. You can text us. You can call us. Better to call always to chat with Walter. We have a question here from Roxanne on the text line. It says, good morning, Walter. My question on my one-year-old deck, are all the post and railing supports all the post and railing support are split, not cracked. This was built with treated wood, and I don't think it was treated. The contractor is not taking any responsibility. Oh, this is Roxanne again. She's asking about remember the small claims court. Roxanne asked this question last week. We answered it. Maybe she didn't hear. Small claims court for a hand railing. What are your thoughts on this? Because she's getting splinters. You said you didn't necessarily think it was worth the small claims.
I mean, it's not. Small claims are going to cost her about $350.
Yeah.
To do, and it's the time as well. The issue with small claims, I mean, she can. It's not necessarily going to be a big job, like I said before. What she could do is she could start the process and maybe get push them to do something about it. But, you know, again, it's probably going to be an issue. I mean, she can probably do this herself. She just needs to sand it down to the natural grain and then restain it or repaint it depending on the color.
Yeah, I think I've never been, but in law school, I remember they really explained about small claims. Like, it's not as, yes, by all means, take advantage of it, but it can get a little lengthy. There's a lot of people with small claims.
You can, it's about a year to 2 years wait to go in front of a judge. You can go to the Palais, down to the Palais de Justice, and they will help you fill up the forms and do everything if you need any assistance with it. You could do it online as well, which is great.
Well, I hope that helps you out there. 514-790-0800. Before we go to break, John from La Chute texted a little earlier about a question for his furnace settings. And John, we're having a hard time understanding your text messages, your settings. If you want to maybe call in and explain, it would be a little bit easier for us. 514-790-0800. This is the Home Improvement Show. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show, your chance to get on the line with Walter Assey, president of Renovco. He is taking all of your questions concerning your home improvement, your needs, your questions. Alan has been patiently waiting on the line. Before we get to Alan, we'll get to Alan and then Walter wanted to highlight a company. We'll get to Alan first and then we'll highlight a company. Alan, can you hear us?
Yes. Good morning, everybody.
Take it away.
Okay, I'm having a minor problem with spiders in the house since the temperature's gotten cold out, hot outside. I think that there's one on the wall, and I try to catch it with my hand and a tissue or something, or even the vacuum, it disappeared underneath a piece of furniture, which I cannot move myself. Is there anywhere that sells like a trap for like ants, but for spiders? Because I called up the company that made the ant traps. They don't have, they have some sort of spray, and I don't want to put a spray into the air in my bedroom.
So the quick answer would be yes. You could have glue traps that are designed for crawling insects. And usually you want to put them in high traffic areas like next to baseboards and, where they're actually active, maybe in the corners, under furniture.
Yes.
So this is yeah, they do exist, and you can buy them either from an exterminator store or from a lot of the big box stores will carry them. The other way that you could also do it, and it's very effective, is you stop them from coming in from the outside. And typically to do that, you hire a company, those exterminators, and they spray a liquid on your exterior envelope of the home, and you'll be surprised. It actually works very well. So instead of killing or trapping the spider, you just stop it from coming in to the house as well.
Okay, thank you so very much. Good luck on your surgery.
Oh, thank you, Alan. You're so very, very sweet. Thank you so much. If you missed the beginning of the show, this is going to be my last show with Walter for the next little while because I'm getting my hip replaced. Walter can fix anything, just not my hip. And
I can't believe I'm going to do the show on my own.
No, you're going to get Ken, you're going to get Sue, you guys are going to have a blast. Walter, you did want to mention a company, by the way, before.
I want to mention two things, actually.
Okay.
Number one, I want to wish a happy birthday to Julia.
Yes, your gorgeous daughter.
My gorgeous daughter was turning 10, and she is my kryptonite.
She's your Achilles. I don't think Walter has ever said, have you ever said no to her?
I don't think I could say much to her. She's like I said, she's a big closer, so it's hard. I love her very much, and I'm very excited for her birthday party.
You know what's crazy? Because Walter and I have kids around the same age. So my son, Phoenix, my eldest, is 9, and I looked at him the other day. I was telling Walter, he's already such a string bee. He's so tall. I mean, we're tall in our family, and I thought, Walter and I were just saying that old cliche, it goes by so fast. 10, double digits.
It's crazy, yeah. I mean, she was my baby, like yesterday.
You know? Do you remember when they're little and they're just like little blobs and you think they're going to become people? She's a whole person now.
Yeah, she's a whole person with attitude.
Happy birthday to Julia, by the way. And also you wanted to highlight a company.
Yeah, I mean, it's for the caller with the brass knocker. There's another very good company that also have a very good personalized service. The name is Deca. So they do specialize in these types of either handles or knockers, or and they do offer great service. I think they have two locations, one in Laval and one somewhere else. But yeah, that's one company that would.
Deca, D-E-K-K-A, two Ks?
Is it D-E?
Oh, are you gonna get
C-C-A or K-K-A?
Should I Google really quickly? So hold on, Deca. No, it's gonna give me. You know what Deca means here? Fun fact. You know.
What does it?
And in Greek, it means 10. Deca.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Too many things came up when I... Deca. But you wanted to highlight the company.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I'm sure they'll find it. It's just another thought for her so she can have options.
Okay. There's a question here. This person has... I texted before. The question is how much should somebody be paying for a heat pump? Like, what are the... Give the range.
So, I mean, look, it's very simple. It's going to boil down to the brand. It's going to boil down to the tonnage as well. Don't look at it as the price per item. It's like when you want to buy a pair of jeans. If you want to buy a Levi's, you're going to pay X amount. If you're going to buy
Hugo Boss.
Oh, yeah,
there's
for
a
sure.
Designer
you,
one?
You have, for example, the more commercial, you want the lower end brand, you have the medium end, and then you have the high end.
How high
so
is high?
So you could go up to certain cases, $10,000 for a 3-ton, and it can go all the way down to $4,000 or $3,500. $1,000. So you're going to have to decide, number one, what's compatible with your furnace. So it's not like you have the choice. It's not an open menu.
Mm.
It has to be compatible with your furnace. I always recommend the same brand, if possible, of furnace that you have. That's usually the easiest. And you service, it's the same service company that will service both in case you have a problem. But yeah, I mean, it's you have to do research on the brand, the recalls, you know, the reputation. There are some brands I would not touch with a 10-foot pole, even if you give them for me for free.
Do you want to say them, or you're going to get yourself in trouble?
No, I will get in trouble.
Okay.
But, maybe off the air.
Off the air, yes, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there are some great brands. You pay the money for it, but also you pay what you get what you pay for.
But so the range on the lower end is what?
So 3,000 to 10,000 on the high end.
Okay.
Let's
but this is way. Not necessarily where you want to cheap out, if you will. Like maybe because it's you want it to last.
I mean, it's a component of efficiency, saving money. So the more efficient it is, the more money you're gonna save. So long term, you're gonna win. Also, it's breakdowns, right? So every time you have a breakdown, you're going to call a technician how much it's going to cost you, plus the lack of comfort or, you know.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that you know, it's a tricky question.
Okay.
A tricky question.
Walter, that does it for us. I'll be back in a couple of weeks. You know, you get Ken, you get Sue. It's a different party.
Luck. Best of luck. I know you're gonna come back as quickly as possible.
Bionic with a bionic. You
know, well, I mean, not maybe quickly with the walker, but at least.
Walter Assey, the joke machine. Hey, thank you to each and every one of you for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with my show, Weekends with Joanne Brakes. Walter, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure.